You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to talk with LCMS international workers today, learn about what's going on in their lives and where they serve. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us in studio today, the Reverend Matthew and Callie Wood, serving the Lord in Indonesia. Matthew serves as an international pastor and area facilitator for the Asia region. Welcome, Wood family, to The Coffee Hour.
Great to be here.
Also joining us in studio, Mindy Taves. She's serving the Lord in Taiwan as Lutheran Education Coordinator. Mindy, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
Now, last time we talked, Mindy, we were online chatting like across the globe.
Absolutely.
Like hunkered down. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning for you and 8 o'clock in the evening for us. We actually get to sit face to face in studio, which is kind of fun this time. Looking forward to catching up and learning more about the Lord's work in Asia for you. And speaking of Asia, I don't think we've talked with the Wood family about serving in Asia and particularly where you serve as international pastor, Matthew. What's your chief duty in this region?
In Indonesia, I coordinate continuing education opportunities for pastors of the Gereja Lutheran Church in Indonesia. I got that wrong. Gereja Christian Luther Indonesia, the GKLI, the Indonesian Christian Lutheran Church. So I gather about 30 to 40 people for a week, six times a year, and discuss the topics they've requested to discuss. And then out of those conversations, other needs will arise, resources they need, and partnerships that could be beneficial to them. And then we see if we can meet those needs.
You make that sound very easy. We meet. It's cool. Tell us more about what happens when you get to meet with a bunch of pastors. Who are these pastors, first of all?
So the GKLI has 30 pastors across the island of Indonesia, 35 pastors across the island of
Sumatra.
They serve 110 congregations. Cool. So they're serving lots of people. Congregations like here could range from 20 to 200 people. And so they come with their church elders. So a group will generally be four or five pastors, and then 20 to 25 church elders. And they give me the opportunity to teach them about the most recent interest of theirs has been church and ministry. What does Lutheran pastor look like? What do Lutherans do when they gather together for worship? What are the responsibilities of the lay people involved in church leadership? And so I teach from the confessions and the Bible as well about that. And then the most interesting part is they respond with questions, which really gets into the nitty-gritty of what they're facing. And most of their questions are about how to interact with other Christians. In Indonesia, they allow pastors and church leaders, Christian teachers, to go into the public school for religious education, which is good. But it comes with the drawback of all the denominations get the ear of your kids. So the pastors and teachers are always concerned with how do we address this other teaching that is being taught where my kids go to school and how does that all work? So
I can see how that could be confusing, especially to a child. What do you enjoy most about what you get to do in terms of teaching and supporting these pastors?
I enjoy worshiping with the Indonesians because no matter where we are, no matter how the church building looks like, a lot of times it's just a wood shack. The Indonesians will sing with joy and they'll be happy. And the message of the gospel is there, whether or not you have prosperity or beautiful architecture that they have in other parts of the world. The joy of the gospel is there in the church. And it's phenomenal to see how this little church is remaining faithful to the gospel. And it's amazing to be a part of their gospel proclamation, because there are about 10% of the population is Christian in Indonesia, but the vast majority of that Christianity in Indonesia tends to be charismatic and what's prosperity gospel driven. And so to be a part of the actual gospel proclamation is quite rewarding.
Callie, what's it like taking care of family in Indonesia? What does life look like for you?
I always think about this when we are back stateside and church members say, oh, I could never do what you do. I can't believe you do this. I do the same thing I would have done here. Get my kids up in the morning for breakfast. We have breakfast. We homeschool, so then that involves me homeschooling. But we homeschooled when we were stateside, so that is not very different. I go to the grocery store. I have women's Bible study. I do all those things. And maybe 5-10% of my day, I do it in Indonesian when I'm out of the house. But otherwise, it's just, I'm wrangling kids. It's what I do. So it looks similar. It's just in a hot and humid climate.
So if you spend enough time in St. Louis, I mean, it's not that different then, right?
St. Louis prepared me for some of the humidity and heat that is Indonesia and the driving.
Yeah, the poor driving.
Oh, tell us more.
He's the driver. Let's just say I don't drive in Indonesia. It's a little frightening. But I did learn that, St. Louis, you just do what you want when you want sometimes. And Indonesia is like amplified.
Yeah.
By like 100. Mm-hmm. On the wrong side of the road.
Oh, man.
You mean the unique side of the road. All right. Favorite, when it comes to cultural things, you mentioned language. I think you mentioned when you're outside the home, Indonesian, what does that mean? Your language acquisition skills? What languages are you speaking?
So we speak Indonesian. There are 7,000 languages in Indonesia.
730
languages. It's a lot.
Still.
When you don't know them.
It's still a lot.
National language is Indonesian, and that's what we learned. We spent about 9 months learning it. He is much better at it. He does more in it. But since I'm homeschooling my kids in English, I spend a lot of time in English. But yes, outside the house, grocery store, taking taxis, whatever we do is in Indonesian. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of English spoken outside of our home.
How long have you guys been in Indonesia?
6 years.
Okay.
So we were back stateside during COVID for about a year and a half. So it's really been four and a half years on the field.
In the country.
Mm-hmm. What are some things you've learned about the culture? I know when we talked with missionary kids a while ago and we asked them misconceptions, they were like, well, we just live life like we normally do. Like you said, it's just life. It's just in a different place. But what are some of those things that you've learned about Indonesian culture that have just been really interesting to you?
Their view of jobs is really interesting. We like to, here in America, when you have small talk, you're like, so what's your job? Yeah. They're like, they don't even want to answer the question. Like there you say, are you married? Do you have kids? Like they want to talk about family because jobs are just a means to provide for their family. Whereas here, that's like your identity.
Yeah.
So it's very, I find that interesting. Just their whole family life, how they value families, they value kids. We go out to restaurants and there's like 18-year-old boys making faces at my kids, trying to get them to smile. It's just a very different culture and in that way. And I love it.
And if you are not married yet, their first follow-up question is why? And if you are married and don't have kids yet, their first follow-up question is why? I mean, in America, your mom isn't even allowed to ask you that question. And in Indonesia, this stranger off the street, you've known them for the 2 minutes you're talking and they'll be asking you about, family life and all that.
You mentioned being out at a restaurant. Which begs the question, foods that you've discovered that you like or maybe don't like so much, your experiences with food.
Their food is very spicy and it's amazing.
It's all fresh.
Yeah.
Even the lower income food is all locally sourced, fresh vegetables, fresh grown rice and
fresh ground spices.
Fresh ground spices. Even there's when you go to the grocery store, it's some locally farm grown freshly ground pack of spices that you get to bring home and make food.
All right. So what's your favorite dish? Maybe something you've learned to make at home or something you've had out at a restaurant?
I like chicken sambal, which is just fried chicken with hand crushed peppers on it. Now they use palm oil to fry their chicken, which I think adds a very good savory flavor to it. That's one of the things I miss coming here is palm oil.
I would say my favorite dish is beef rendang, and it's stewed beef in like coconut milk and spices. Ooh. And we spent like 2 months that every Sunday we made this meal trying to get it right. And then we were stateside during COVID, and we made it here as well. So yeah, mm-hmm. It's a favorite.
What else are you learning about life in Indonesia that you're learning to really appreciate?
I really appreciate how, I guess the word is how chill they are. Everything is very not urgent. And I think it comes from the living in a tropical climate. You're not forced to plan for your own survival. If you told the story of the ant and the grasshopper there, they would just look at you confused. Like, store food? Why? It's on the tree. Just go grab it. And so that creates a life where everything's just relaxed. And it creates for really good conversation. And it can be frustrating coming from the U.S. when I want a 6 month, I want to plan 6 months out and know exactly when I'm going to go teach these workshops. And instead it's, okay, so we got everyone. Everyone's going to be there next week. Ready, go. So that can be challenging. But at the same time, expectations are such that they're not expecting some professionally done conference, but rather more of an organic thing that's mm-hmm. that's happening. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you guys looking forward to when you get back after home services wrapped up?
Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. We get back just before Christmas, and most people wanted us to stay for Christmas here in America. And I'm like, no, because home is in Indonesia right now. And so we need to go celebrate Christmas at home. And we have some fun traditions that we do there. And I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Now you have to actually tell us just like a quick smidge what you guys do for Christmas.
I mean, it's very similar to what we do here. I do a cookie exchange with some other families that we know. And a lot of the families we know do similar work that we do, but they're from different organizations and different countries. So mm-hmm. we have Norwegian friends and South African friends. And so we all bring our like country, Christmas cookie, and we share them. And we've done gingerbread houses with our kids before and stuff like that. So it's just that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, for Christmas. I find just humorous in Indonesia. I remember I was sitting at an open air hotel breakfast, and it was 85 degrees and humid. And all of a sudden, in the mid bleak winter comes on because it's, Christmas time. And I thought, man, that just doesn't translate. We need some good Indonesian hymns about Christmas. And then I thought, what would they sound like? So there'd be a lot about rain.
We are catching up with LCMS International Workers today, talking with the Wood family, and we'll catch up with Mindy Taves in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking with LCMS International Workers today. We've been talking with the Wood family serving in Indonesia. Now we get to catch up with Mindy Taves, serving the Lord in Taiwan as Lutheran Education Coordinator. Mindy, last time we talked, it was you were finishing up or preparing for English Bible Camp, and I know it was a busy time for you. A recap of English Bible Camp and things that came out of that, what you learned from it and what you enjoyed about it.
Well, this is our second year to host U.S. Volunteers for English Bible Camp in Taiwan, and working along with our church partner, the China Evangelical Lutheran Church in Taiwan. They have an education coordinator position that's similar to mine, and Cynthia Han and I worked very closely together starting in about May, meeting weekly and then also meeting with our U.S. volunteer teams. We hosted two teams this year, so that grew from one last year. And preparing materials for those and doing some training with them so they could feel prepared as they came into the mission field. One advantage we have in hosting U.S. teams in Asia is our time difference is extreme. So many people could have 12, 13, 14 hours time change when they come to Taiwan. So we meet a few days early so that they can adjust to the jet lag. And we use those days as training days where we can practice teaching and games and activities in our limited spaces. So we do have some very small facilities, and our students are limited to 20 or 25 students. And age range then is also limited to 9 to 12-year-olds because it is English Bible Camp and we are aiming to build on their English knowledge. They need to have a little bit of English under their belts, and they do have English instruction in their elementary schools. So we are able to build on those. And we hosted two teams with U.S. volunteers, and then we did two more camps with the CELC. Sacred music educator in the Asia region, Becky Bartelt, and I participated in those. We also had help from other Asia region missionaries. Barb Rebentish came as a translator. Hannah Hester came in a supporting role and helped with as a group leader for our Jiayi City Camp. Even our business manager, Sam Borgwart, came to help us with wrangling some of the kids as a group leader in Jiayi. So we had a lot of extra hands that joined us, but it was an awesome opportunity. And our smallest camp was at a church plant location in Nantou. We only had five students that joined us, but those five children didn't have any Bible background. This was a first touch with Jesus. And all five of those kids were so eager to participate and hear more. And it was amazing. Becky Bartelt and I both said it was our favorite camp.
I love it. That sounds so fun to be able to work with kids like that. What's new since those camps happened? What's been going on?
Well, I was very tired.
That's fair.
I really was. Shortly thereafter, I came to the U.S. for some vacation before I started my home service.
Okay.
And I was rightfully jet-lagged, but I really slept pretty heavily for 2 weeks. So I'm not going to lie. I was tired. So it wasn't exactly new, but I felt refreshed before I started home service.
That's a legitimate use of your time, though. Yeah, for sure.
I'll be back in Taiwan for our work group meetings, and that will be the beginning of November. Get back into the groove with a weekly class that I do at a local public school and with Becky Bartelt as well.
Some more music.
Well, Becky does the music. I do the support with the English. I am not there to help with the music. I like to joke. My older sister had violin, my younger sister had piano, and I was the Jan Brady. Like, everybody forgot about me. But I'm there to support with English instruction. Becky teaches music for those students and then teaches songs in English. So I pull out key vocabulary and create games and activities to support the English learning. So we have a really good time with that.
And so this is an after-school program, is that right?
Yep, at a local public school, and it's for low-income and at-risk students. So it's only about 16 students. We have a small group, so we meet with them once a week for an hour, and we're able to share the gospel with them while we're there, which is a really unique situation considering it's a public school.
Tell us more about the students you get to interact with when you're doing, you've got the English Bible Camp, but then also the after-school program. Tell us more about those students and what they get to learn when you're teaching them.
Well, the students at the midweek class that we do, the pineapple class, they were, that's the nickname.
There's a story there.
The school is set in a part of Jiayi that had previously had a large pineapple processing plant. And that neighborhood still holds the nickname of the Pineapple Neighborhood. So the after-school program is called the Pineapple Class. And those students then, we also invited them to come to one of our three-day camps for English Bible Camp. And so their summer program, they were able to join us and participate along with. We had a handful of students that also came from our neighborhood as well as from the congregation there. And we could share the gospel with them, which was really fantastic. And they're kids that we're getting to know because they've stayed in the program. We've been with them for 2 years. So we're getting to know more of them personally and looking for ways that we can continue to plug them into resources that we have that share the gospel.
So you're here for home service in the United States, heading back to this after-school program. Other things coming up this season. The Wood family mentioned some of the Christmas traditions they have. What are you looking forward to in the next couple of months?
Well, it was nice to hear them say they were looking forward to Christmas, because one of the things I looked forward to as a teacher at Concordia Middle School in Jiayi City was a huge Christmas celebration where every class would create Christmas trees based on different Bible stories. And they would have skits that would go along with them. It was a huge competition at the school. And to see the students in their creative process, they would decorate these trees and then they would be able to tell the Bible story. And it was one of my favorite traditions at the school. And I'll be able to see it this year as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. What do you enjoy about the work that you get to do? I mean, I know we've talked to you a few times about the stuff you get to do, and you always just have this huge smile on your face. What do you love about it?
Well, English is just the vehicle, because, you know, I can teach English. That's the vehicle that is used to open the door to share the gospel. And it's awesome. You know, Becky Bartelt and I work very well together because, you know, music is her vehicle to be able to share the gospel. And then when we can join those two worlds together, because as longtime educators, both of us see the value in being able to use both of our skills and use them in conjunction with each other. And that part has been a huge blessing. So I appreciate that part a lot.
I just learned so much every time we get to talk with LCMS international workers.
Sure.
Mindy, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. We appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
Also joining us today, the Reverend Matthew and Callie Wood, serving the Lord in Indonesia. Thank you, Wood family, for being our guests also.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You can learn more by visiting servenow.lcms.org and learn about opportunities to serve internationally with the LCMS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.